your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome to another episode of Alchemy. We've got a great show today. Co-hosting with me is my good friend, Chad Bronstein, founder and CEO at Philo. And we're lucky to be joined by the legendary Adam Levin, chairman of High Times. Great to hang, guys.
Great to hang. Legendary?
Legendary.
I'll take it.
Two legends here today.
Definitely.
Adam, just to kind of kick things off, obviously High Times is one of the world's greatest and most recognizable cannabis brands in history. So it'd be great just to hear from you. Like, talk to us a little bit about all the awesome things that are brewing over there.
So really exciting times for us at High Times. And, you know, we find ourselves in a unique situation as a world and, you know, trying to, you know, take advantage of the opportunities that we find ourselves in and the tough times that the industry has seen and finding opportunities in them. And kind of, you know, we're looking at taking this brand to retail and to delivery and to other verticals in additional ways that we'll continue to push on.
Awesome.
So Adam, yeah, obviously right now, you know, with the coronavirus, as you were just referencing, it's a crazy marketplace. But I would say that the positive parts for at least us, you have to look at the positives, is that it's deemed an essential. So from your perspective, you probably have been busier than ever.
So I think we're seeing definitely demand up. It's been deemed an essential. I think from the media side, we're definitely connecting consumers to brands and consumers to different retailers. But the opportunities that we see are that there's, you know, some real issues in the economic outlook for the next 60 to 90 days. And with that, what we're seeing is people are relying on these essential needs. They're going to their cannabis, they're going to other products and changing consumer habits. And, you know, we're seeing more time on our site and on some of our media platforms than we've ever seen.
Yeah. So Adam, when you're talking about that in particular, are you experiencing any specific areas on the site that people are really spending a lot more time on, especially during what's happening right now?
We've launched a new ways for people to engage with each other while they're at home. You know, so while we're being quarantined in our houses, we're not having the same social interaction. So yesterday we launched a 420 live and ended up on a Zoom cast with almost 1,000 people.
Wow.
And, you know, it just happened and we invited a few people to invite other people and it kind of, you know, spiraled and went somewhat viral in that, you know, had close to 1,000 people with very little promotion or no promotion of it. And so we're exploring with different ways that people can connect with each other on hightimes.com in new ways that have never been done. So, you know, there's a chat roulette functionality that we are just launching and it'll allow people to smoke and you know in an advertiser safe way, a brand safe way to smoke with one another and consume cannabis and create conversations around cannabis because they're not having those chat type of conversations in real life today because of the quarantine.
Cool. How did everybody react today with the April Fool's prank around the cannabis cup coming to North Korea?
We sold a lot of t-shirts, a lot of merchandise. People are disappointed that it's not really happening, but hopefully in the near future, you know, North Korea could be a cannabis cup host city. That would be a pretty fun place to visit.
Kim Jong didn't reach out to you today.
We haven't had him reach out. We haven't been hacked. So far, so good.
That's awesome.
You know, you have an interesting background, right? Part of what, you know, when me and you first met, which is, I don't know, like almost a year ago, which feels like a decade ago in California, I was really intrigued by what you've been able to accomplish. And, you know, you are pretty much a man of many mysteries in terms of a lot of the verticals that you jump into. So it'd be really great for, you know, for all the listeners to really understand your background and why you jumped in to getting, you know, purchasing High Times and continuing to grow to even a larger brand than it was.
Yeah. So, you know, when I purchased High Times, I saw it as a great opportunity to take a staple that people within the cannabis industry knew, people within the cannabis community knew, cannabis consumers knew, and those who didn't know, didn't consume cannabis would most likely know. And it was a universal brand that, and to me, there was nothing else like it. So, you know, different than some of the other brands that I've owned. But with that, saw that it could work on many different platforms. When you look digital content, when you look on the events business, which is a robust business, when you look on the media business, providing, connecting consumers to brands on a platform that typically doesn't allow such brands to sometimes advertise. So those were all in interesting businesses. What made it knock it out of the park was the potential. You saw the early, just MedMen was just an early upstart, and you saw these brands being started where nothing would surpass the brand value or the recognition value of High Times. And it was unique because I've bought brands, as you alluded to. You know, I've bought Girls Gone Wild, and I've owned Penthouse. And you talk about other brands. Penthouse was damaged, gone through a bankruptcy and this and that. Girls Gone Wild had, you know, the headaches from Joe and that tarnished, but was still a solid businesses, both of them solid businesses. But what was so different about High Times was that it didn't have this negative connotation. Some people could say a little dated in ways, but, you know, to me, it wasn't dated. It just had, it connected with many people in different genres of people, different demographics of people that, you know, like my dad and my little brother. My brother's 27 and my dad's 65, both have different experience and connections to High Times, but both positive connections. And very often people only saw images of great cannabis, great buds in the centerfolds of High Times. And that's what, you know, High Times is known for. So with some of our recent efforts in retail and it's continuing to take those images that we all have and memories of High Times, of keeping them under our bed, and bringing that type of connection to our different retail platforms.
Yeah, I love that. And I, you know, even growing up, I actually remember, you know, High Times was always something that I could buy in the, you know, the deli around the corner from me in New York City. And, you know, it was kind of a little bit around the counterculture. And, you know, today you have so many people that are, you know, I guess you could say kind of curious, that are just getting involved now and trying different things. And, you know, are you seeing any new demographic segments that are really opening up for you guys as this is kind of more of an acceptable, you know, magazine? It's very different today.
Well, I think everyone's misconception that when talking about High Times is the stereotypical audience that they think we have. And to me, it's always been, you know, when you look at the analytics, it's so much broader than that. So I think that's, you know, and that's really due to just how content's distributed today, as you guys know. You know, when we publish an article about CBD or different businesses, it may draw a different consumer. And when searched and indexed on any of the search engines for Google, for instance, really Google at the end of the day, you know, many people are finding that article really because of the age and the domain experience that we see that we have at High Times. You know, it's interesting to see is like HighTimes.com and 420.com, but really High Times is older than Google as far as a domain. It was like one of the first, like probably 5,000, 10,000 domains issued with a .com. So, you know, the founders of High Times and the original family that owned it really ahead of the curve when securing these domains. And it's paid, you know, paid dividends today.
Pretty amazing. And you guys have been around since the early 70s as well. So you have a lasting brand.
Lasting brand and recognition. You know, you said one of the, you know, most recognizable names in cannabis. And, you know, I challenge you. I always like, you know, what else would be as recognizable?
Yeah. Adam, what's really cool is like what I've, you know, admired by learning about High Times and understanding your vision to take this into the next iteration of a brand and going after, like Jeff said earlier, all different types of audiences. I think you got it spot on. I think that it's not the typical audience that everyone thinks it is when they come to High Times. So it's going to be really interesting with what you're doing and all the new hires you brought on, everything that High Times is doing, how you transition to making that more educational so you know who different segments that are coming in. But one thing that's really interesting about your business outside of just the High Times brand from going online is also the events you throw. And you're pretty much a master of these events, and you've done them for quite some time with not just High Times, but with Pride.com and the Pride Festival. So it'd be really interesting to hear perspective on how the events have grown it and how you've gotten Cannabis Cup to grow so fast.
You know, listen, the Cannabis Cup goes back 30 plus years into its roots in Amsterdam and has become, you know, really the Olympics of the cannabis world, where, you know, growers from all these different, really all over the world would come to Amsterdam and bring their best. And, you know, my first Cannabis Cup as a High Times team member, I remember seeing, you know, hearing the stories of this place, you know, this person brought this from Cali, and you'd be like, wow, they brought them from all over the world. And we're sitting in Amsterdam smoking some of the best weed in the world and pinching myself. But, you know, really, you really understand the importance of the cup and the gravitas that it has to this community, but the gravitas that it had to the growers and people who have been doing this for years and generation upon generation.
What is the size of the folks that come to that event? Like, how big is it?
Our events take place all over, you know, today, really all over the world, with a primary focus in the U.S. and, you know, anywhere from 10 to 25,000. I mean, Michigan, we had 35,000 people over 2 days. Large events, you know, Michigan, we sold out. People are waiting. Not ideal, but, you know, waiting 4 hours plus in lines to get in with security and stuff in today's day and age. But, you know, we're bringing the Cannabis Cup. So we're just launched on Monday. We're bringing, you know, in this COVID-19 world, we're bringing the Cannabis Cup to consumers. And so we're packaging it up as a product where you can judge, and we're allowing the consumer to be a judge for the first time. And so you can go to your local dispensary or get a Cannabis Cup product box from delivery in the right markets. And that Cannabis Cup product box will have the 28 best flower indicas or the 28 best flower hybrids. And you get a 28, you know, 28, depending on the jurisdiction, but in California, you get grams of these 28 different selections.
I love that, Adam. I think that's one thing that we were talking the other day that's really excited me about that. I think that's going to be a really good opportunity. I mean, who knows better than High Times on the 28 best brands? So I think it's a really good way to, now with coronavirus, to really get your message out to everybody and still give everyone an opportunity to participate.
Yeah, it gives it exactly.
Are people going to be able to vote online, Adam?
People are able to vote online. And, you know, you think about, you know, different ways, patient, you know, demo days. We can't, they can't take place, which are typically taking place inside retail stores. They can't take place in today's age. So this is a great way to deliver product into consumers' hands, give them a sample, and also, you know, really compete in the Cannabis Cup at the same time. And so everyone will have an online voting. You know, it's really a great way for all stakeholders in the community to have a voice.
That's awesome. So just thinking about, you know, running the business right now, obviously really amazing, fun, great brand, but also at the same time comes with a set of challenges. Anything that maybe you could talk about on, you know, something that you really were working really hard to overcome, or something that has gotten in the way, or even just focusing on like your biggest win?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think, you know, when I acquired the company, I set it up in a structured finance world. One thing I overestimated is the understanding of the general consumer and even the media perspective of that transaction. And so we used reverse merger accounting, and I think I failed in conveying the story of what this really is. And, you know, we've had a lot of negative press. We've received a lot of negative press around our debt. And so much of that debt converts at the IPO and it converts at the listing. So it was never a huge issue to me. Mm-hmm. And even when you look at, you know, this convertible debt of so many of these, you know, cannabis public companies that have taken, you know, convertible debt, you know, all of us have. Mine was always fixed price convertible and really supportive of the company and had mandatory conversion rights. And no one ever told that story. So I think that was my biggest tribulation, I think, in this last 2+ years of the rat race. But, you know, I'm more jazzed and more excited about the prospects and where we're going and how we're operating as a team than ever before. I think we have the right people in place today to really engage and push through some of the challenges that the industry sees, and I'm more excited about stuff to come and where, you know, where High Times will be in 2021 and 2022 and 2025 than I've ever been in the past.
Yeah, Adam, I think it's really, you know, obviously I'm a big believer in where you're going to take it.
I'm a big believer in where you're taking Philo.
Oh, thank you. I think what I like, one thing, I'm going to go back to the earlier conversation you brought up, which I think you should, you know, people need to recognize the importance of culture. But you said about High Times is like, it was a family run business. One thing I noticed about you is your loyalty and your, the way you're building that culture. You and your brother works with you pretty closely on High Times and a lot of your projects. For me, it's like when, you know, we build companies or teams, like Jeff and I met on a panel and we became really close, and our culture at Philo is all about that. So explain to us, you know, talk about, you know, your brother being your partner, but also, you know, what makes you tick in terms of your culture and why you've been successful across you being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So, you know, very often my team becomes my family. I mean, I think when we all of us dedicate the time we do to this, it's great that we have our family at home, but really, you know, the people we're seeing more than anyone else in our lives typically as an entrepreneur is our team. And so that's important that, you know, especially during this time and crises, we're communicating with them, but I'm also checking in with them as friends, as family, and, you know, as my coworkers. And, you know, culture's always been a big issue for very important for us, not big issue, but vital for us, and keeping everyone motivated. And I think in, you know, these companies that you're seeing a lot of change, and, you know, High Times for one, you look at any of these other companies, you know, other than the adult world, I started a company called Boxlight, and we kept growing through acquisition and adding new people. And it's important to keep that culture nimble, but tight. And so you can be welcoming to new people, but and I'm sure you guys can relate to this. You know, you want to be close. You know, Chad, you may not work with your blood brother, but you work with your brother, you know, your boy Aristotle.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I'll trade Aristotle for Max any day.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the truth. It's like, I couldn't agree with you more. That's why I asked the question. Like, for me, like, especially in this environment, just getting up every day knowing you have a team behind you and work with you, it's like, I know that that fires me up. And you need, in this coronavirus timeframe, is like, we're all working from home. So we now don't have that culture that we're used to. So it's really important now, like you said, which is why I love you, is the fact that you call all everybody and checking on them is the same. You know, I think Jeff has that same approach. I have that same approach, but it's more important than ever. So I think that this situation will continue to make our cultures even stronger, because it's when you bond, it's when the bonding even happens.
In the busy world can sometimes forget, but if anything, I've definitely remembered more than ever how important it is to check in and kind of check yourself and just, you know, say, hey, this is where we're looking to go, and this is our team, and bring everyone together.
Yeah, I will say too, I mean, in times of crisis that we've been experiencing the last few weeks, like partners, friends, internal, like we're all so connected right now. And I think it's probably something that we're going to, when we get out of this, you know, not take for granted, right? And, you know, I think we could all learn a lot from some of the things that we've already experienced. So I totally agree with you guys there.
I mean, Adam, for me, it's like what I want the world to hear is like, how much you, your hands in all these different baskets and all the experience you bring. But I'm guessing you're pretty affected by, with the Pride coming up too, like how do you pivot in that scenario with Pride.com and your events that you do, obviously?
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, I mean, you take the events, you know, online, and you bring, obviously, you know, we can't interact in person. And so, you know, brands still need a place to reach that consumer in similar ways. And we're looking at creating engaging experiences online. And, you know, we're going to look just like Pride Media is looking to High Times, just like High Times has looked to Pride Media at different ways. And so with 420 coming up, High Times has, you know, planning a few different ways to engage its community in ways that typically would be celebrated outdoors and at festivals hosted by the company. Pride Media will ideally look, you know, at similar ways to engage its community in similar fashions, you know, and really looking at taking that online. And so we're playing with different experiences like that right now.
Awesome. Adam, any, you know, predictions over the next, say, 6 to 12 months in the cannabis space? I mean, you're so tightly integrated with everybody and have your ear to the ground. Anything cool?
You know, I think, listen, cool. I mean, you talk about, you know, being deemed essential.
Right.
Like, how big is that, guys? Like, we're talking medical and cannabis.
Right.
Other than states like Arizona that deemed essential golf as well. But, you know, like literally cannabis was deemed essential. Kids aren't going to school. You know, we've all seen the meme. Kids aren't going to school, but cannabis is essential. Where, how, this, you know, this is an amazing day and age we're living in. And this is just the start for this industry that, you know, is starting to mature, as we all know, but is really nascent. And, you know, when, you know, people are starting to see all these companies develop and saying, you're seeing these larger MSOs and you're seeing the consolidation of MSOs. I want to remind everyone how nascent this industry is. And so we're definitely a second mover to this game, but we have brand and we have audience. And those are two things, both of all of the players need and pay for and are realizing how hard it is to build a brand that's, you know, recognized on an international level. So, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm excited for 2021. I'm excited for 2020 and excited for the future.
Yeah, we're excited too. I would just say as a quick note, you know, to cap that, the last, I'd say, 7 to 10 days, there has been so much press, mainstream press, New York Times, LA Times, ABC News, literally all on cannabis, how it's essential, how it's selling out, how people are flocking. Like, it's great to see that instead of these, you know, very niche focused publications. Like, this is real deal happening. So, you know, we're totally pumped too. Like, this is a good movement happening. So Adam, we loved having you on the show and loved hearing all about High Times. And, you know, this is kind of part of the show. We do something just a little fun to get to know you a little better. And we do it just a quick fire challenge. We'll ask you a question. And the first thing that comes to your mind, simple answer. You ready?
Yeah. PG? Where are we going? Keeping this corporate?
Well, you know, you could, I mean, listen, this is an explicit podcast, so you could make it explicit if you want. We're already rated E. Are you ready, Adam?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Favorite cannabis product?
The Camino cherry edibles are fire right now.
Adam, what's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
What's the strangest thing I've ever eaten? A rattlesnake.
A rattlesnake. That's, I've never had that before.
Snake Alley, Taiwan. You got it. You know, you did the time in Taiwan.
What are you most afraid of?
I don't know. That's a great question. What am I most afraid of? My girlfriend.
what's your favorite beverage?
Coke Zero. I'm boring.
Coke Zero. Do you have a nickname?
No, not anymore. I've outgrown them. Thank God.
Last artist you listened to?
Artist listening? I don't have time to listen to fucking music, dude.
Good answer.
I saw Dave Matthews do his live cast 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
One word that summarizes your 30s.
Work.
One thing that is running low in your house.
Toilet paper.
I was waiting for that.
And lastly, your favorite place on earth?
The Bahamas.
Always better in the Bahamas. Awesome. Well, Adam, this was super fun. Chad, it's always fun doing this with you. And, you know, we had a great time. And, you know, we're going to be watching you and all the great things that you guys are pushing out there. And obviously really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Jeff.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.